in a black sack dress with 9-inch heels, and then a guy with a blue mohawk comes in, the bass player from the Plasmatics, in serious leather, and all of the rest of whom for which to whensoever a partially indeterminate biochemical degradation seek the path to the sudsy yellow nozzle of their foaming nocturnal parametric digital interface.
This is Danny Lash of Love and Rockets, Bauhaus, and Don't Forget Tones on Tail, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Oh, yes, that's a fact. You are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. I don't know what we were just listening to before, but the news ended way early, so when that happens, things just automatically fill themselves in. That's what happens when you live in the computerized world. But right now, it's going to fill itself in as the theme for the program, Off the Wall. You thought I forgot, didn't you? No, we're going to continue our, I guess, protest or a tribute, whatever you want to call it, to Tommy Chong languishing somewhere in prison. I assume he's in prison now. I mean, he was sentenced to prison, so I assume when you get sentenced to prison, you go to prison. But maybe it's something that he does at a future date. I don't know. If he's not technically in prison right now, I guess I shouldn't be doing this. But, well, there's so much good material that we could do this for a long time. Here's a piece from Cheech and Chong from 1973. Tommy Chong, who was sentenced a couple of weeks ago to, I believe, 10 months in prison for selling bongs on the Internet. Something I still can't believe is a crime. He has been sentenced to prison for that period of time, and until he gets released, we're going to play a piece from his comedy group, Cheech and Chong, once a week, until either people can't take it anymore or... until we get tired of it ourselves. We're going to hear a piece called Sergeant Stadenko. And, of course, Tommy Chong plays Sergeant Stadenko, but he also plays members of this class. In fact, you can hear dialogue between two characters that are played by the same person at one point. And we'll be back with the show right after this.
Please, class, we are very privileged today to have a very special guest in our room. His name is Mr. Stadenko. And Mr. Stadenko is a narcotics officer. That's better, class. Now, Billy, where are you going?
I gotta go to the can, sister. I'll be right back.
You sit down, Billy.
Hey, no. Hey, I gotta go
you
to the can.
You sit down, Billy, and whatever you have in your mouth, swallow it immediately.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot, sister.
Hey, Billy, here, swallow these too, man.
Now, class, I know that all you boys and girls here at Our Lady of 115th Street are too young to have any dealings with any of these dangerous drugs. But, as St. Dominic always said, O fili mi boni belli, Dominus forbiscum beni selling all his dominoes.
Who said that, man?
And with that, I want you to give Mr. Stadenko your undivided attention. Mr. Stadenko.
Thank you very much, Your Grace. And... good afternoon, boys and girls. Thank you for inviting me into your classroom today. Now I have in front of me a green leafy substance which I am going to light. Now I wonder, could one of you boys and girls guess what this substance might be?
pot. Acapulco Gold.
No, it's Michoacan, man. Michoacan.
Home Gold.
No, it's Michoacan, man.
Well, that's very good, class. My sister, they do seem rather well informed.
Oh, they are, Mr. Stadenko. They are. Why, just last week I gave out 15 holy cards.
Well, that's great, sister. Okay, class. Now, as you know, this drug in front of me is what they call marijuana, or as it's known in the hippie world.
That's pot, man.
Pot, that's right.
Joint.
Joint.
Reefer, man.
Yes, reefer.
Yes.
yes, but we don't call it that. We have other words for it. Now, contrary to popular belief, kids, and let me level with you. This stuff can give you brain damage. Make no mistake about that. It can. I know they've had other tests where they say it doesn't harm you, but believe me, kids, this stuff is dangerous to fool with.
Don't look dangerous
and
to me,
remember,
man.
Only dopes use dope. Now,
heavy.
Class,
are
there any
allowed.
Questions? Yes, the young fellow in the front row with the orange and purple shirt. You have a question?
Yeah. Hey, who cut your hair?
Now, settle down and give Mr. Stadenko your undivided attention. Mr. Stadenko.
Thank you, sister. Now, are there any more questions?
Yeah, man, I got a question.
Yes, you in the vest, is it?
Yeah.
You have a question, do you?
Yeah, man.
About the drug.
Yeah, about the drug thing. Hey, man, like I was watching TV the other day, man. And like they said, like if you knew some guy that was pushing like the drugs, man, and then you could call a telephone number and you could get a reward if you turn him in. Is that still on, man?
That's a very good question, son, and I'm glad that you brought it up. I was going to get to that. Yes, boys and girls, there is a program in which you can participate. Now, we are offering a reward for the pusher. Now, if there's anybody here has any information about a drug pusher, be it your brother or maybe even your mother and dad, if you give us your name, we will give you a reward for turning in the drug pusher.
Hey, man, how much is the reward, man?
Well, actually, son, I'm not... I can't disclose the amount. It depends on how much drugs are confiscated.
Well, then, but you have to tell the guy's name first, huh?
That's right.
Oh. Hey, well, I want to turn in Billy, man.
Hey, what are you talking about, man?
Hey, man, you saw me that shit, man. Wouldn't get a fly high.
Hey, I
want to
clean you, man.
Well,
come on. You're a stoolie, you puke.
Well, come on, man. You saw me that
stuff,
man. I
wouldn't judge you,
man. Nothing but oregano, man.
Oregano.
I took it home and I was selling it to my brothers and sisters, man. They wouldn't even get off on it, man.
Wait, if it's oregano, you beaner, you can use it in your soup.
Oh, yeah, who's that beaner? Come on, man.
You're
you want to judge you? Let's get down,
yeah,
man.
I'll meet you outside, man.
I don't need to go outside. Come on, let's get
right
down here.
Come
on, get
right
here. Put your money where your mouth is, man.
Come on, man.
Well, take that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, take. Come here, you puke. Quit running. Come on, get out of there.
Class!
Quit hiding behind that
chair. Come
on, man.
Class! Now, you boys, stop that fighting. Class, settle down. Class! Mr. Stadenko, help me.
It's all right, sister. I'll tell you what. We'll call the police.
Class! Now, you boys, get away. Don't go running around for me.
Oh, the memories that brings back. Wow. Unbelievable. Not just the memories of hearing it on the radio occasionally, but the memories of actually living it in schools and things like that. No, I wasn't really like that, was it? I guess maybe it was. But, yes, now as part of that whole thing, because people think of Tommy Chong as somebody who ridiculed law enforcement and glorified marijuana and things like that, it's one of the reasons why he was sent to prison for selling bongs. You can get more information at www.freetommychong.org. And quite a bit of information there, in fact. And they even have a full line of merchandise of things you can... they've linked up with Cafe Press or something, and they just have all kinds of thing. I don't know about that part of it, unless the funds go to help him or something. But some interesting facts can be found on that website, freetommychong.org. So that was Sergeant Stadenko from the album... What was the name of that album again? Los Cochinos, I believe, yes. And that came out in 1973. Yes, the humor may be a bit dated in some ways. Maybe other ways it isn't. I'm curious as to what people have to think about that. And if you have any requests of Cheech and Chong pieces or just plain Chong pieces, if there are any of those, email us, otw at 2600.com. And you can also call us here at 631-632-WUSB. Now, since most people seem to listen to the show after it's on, I guess emailing probably is the best option for those of you who aren't listening live right now over the radio signals or live over the Internet. A lot of people took part in our slideshow last week, which I found pretty amazing, that so many people would be interested in the pictures I took when I traveled overseas to Europe for 6 weeks, and we'll have a few more of those tonight, and have quite a few comments on what was going on. But first, I just want to get into what I've been going through in the last, mainly the last few days, but mostly over the last few weeks, even months. And it exceeds a year, in fact. Wow. And that's basically just working on a project to get something finished. You know, you take on these mammoth projects, and you don't know exactly where they're going to take you. You just assume things are going to be a lot easier than they really are. And, you learn a lot along the way. You really do. You learn a lot about just how much you can take, about patience, about tolerance, about how to break things. You name it. You learn. You learn everything. Well, last year we had a conference. We had a conference called H2K2. It was the H stands for hope, and the hope stands for Hackers on Planet Earth, and the 2K2 is 2002, so that's how we got that name. And we had a whole lot of panels on that on those days in July of 2002, and it's been our intention ever since that happened to make these available on VCD and over the Internet on audio as well. Well, we've got all the audio done, and we're still working on the VCDs. We've had so much of a problem with these things. It's just, words defy me. I don't know if I can describe this. First of all, we had to repair sound, and that takes all kinds of time to do this. But, you know, the programs, when the programs work just fine. I don't know if people work in the computer business out there, but when something works, you know, it works. The problems come, obviously, when things don't work. But this is something that I think it takes on an intelligence of its own, the way this project has not been working, the way things have just completely sabotaged themselves. We're talking about machines that that diligently record all of this information, so that we have, say, a week's worth of work, and then the hard drive just disappears. Yeah, gone. Just gone. Disappeared. Never seen it. And, of course, everything is lost and has to be done again. When that's finished, that's when the program that was working last week decides that it's not going to work anymore. It's just going to, no, I don't understand what it is you're asking me to do. And what's more, I'm going to erase some more files. And then you have things like, the latest thing is the playback deck, the thing that plays the tape. That has decided, after everything else has been worked out, that's decided to refuse to play tapes now. This kind of thing has been going on since August of last year. And when you're dealing with a huge amount of material like we are, we have something like 65 hours of material that we intend to have ready one way or another in the next couple of weeks. It just takes a lot longer than you might imagine. A lot of people have been asking, how could it possibly take so long to put all this audio and video together? Well, believe me, if you were part of this project, and several people have been, we've had a total of 4 people involved in this project over the last year, 2 of whom are institutionalized now. All right, one's going to a state college, but you tell me the difference. It's driven everybody mad. It's driving me mad right now. I've been working on the latest issue of the magazine, And that was less stressful than working on this. And this is not over yet, so if I sound a little out of it, it's because... All right, you know what? I'm going to name names, because this has perturbed me so much, I don't care anymore. I'm going to name names. I don't care. They're pointing to the legal books. Yeah, I know. I might get sued for naming names. It wouldn't be the first time. Macintosh. All right, there, I said it. Macintoshes. Have you ever worked with a Mac? Oh, they're great. They're great when you first get them. When they come out of the box and you turn them on, everything looks really nice. The thing is shaped like a triangle. It's you know, this aqua blue color, whatever. You know, the latest fancy schmancy thing that you can possibly imagine. And it's also a computer on top of all that. Yeah. Looks like a light bulb or, you know, something else and... actually does processing as well. It's amazing when you get these things. They work so fast. You can process words, you can process video, you can process audio, you can create life, all kinds of things that you just can't do with a PC. And then something changes. And I know this is true. I know this is true because I've had enough Macintoshes over my lifetime. I think the first Mac I ever had was a Mac 2. Which I guess leaves the Mac 1 in front of that or something, and that's the only one I missed. Oh, I've seen those, and I've seen Mac Pluses and, you know, the ancient ones. But here's what always happens. You always start working with the things, and everything moves incredibly fast, especially if you're getting one to replace another one. You're amazed at how much faster it works. And then maybe as soon as 6 months down the road... maybe more like a year, I don't know. Who's counting? Things aren't working as fast anymore. And things aren't working as well anymore. Right now we're working with a machine known as a G3. It's that cool-looking blue one where you can open up the case, you know, and not have to turn the machine over or anything like that. And that was state-of-the-art machine when we got it a couple of years ago. In fact, we edited the film Freedom Downtime on that very machine. And now you would think this thing has no idea what a film is, what anything is having to do with computers. Programs crash, hard drives get wiped out, it's slow as molasses. And I don't think things have changed that much in the last few years. I don't think that we're moving at such a fast pace now that this kind of slow speed was normal back then. I think something a little bit more insidious is going on. I think these machines are bogging themselves down and crippling themselves so that you have no choice but to go out and buy a new one. And if you've ever dealt with Macintosh, the company, you know that's the way they think. They want you to constantly be upgrading your machines, constantly be upgrading your software. What you had yesterday just isn't going to do today. You got to get a new one. Is there anyone out there who's using a Macintosh that's more than 5 years old? Huh? Anyone? I don't hear anyone. Well, okay. You have to keep upgrading these things. And this is where the majority of the problems have been coming in. Because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I can't afford to keep buying a new machine every year or every 2 years even. So we have to make do with what we have. And that just doesn't seem to be good enough anymore. This would have worked a couple of years ago. I'm certain of it. Would have worked just fine, but now it's... And there are no Mac viruses, you know? The Mac viruses don't really get spread across the internet like everything else. So you can't blame those. I think there's some kind of built-in obsolescence going on here. All right, so I said my piece. I feel a little bit better. But I still got to deal with this. And as God is my witness, this project will be finished in the next couple of weeks. Okay. What shall we move on to next? How about some listener feedback, which you can partake in by emailing otw@2600.com. A lot of people looked at the pictures, as I mentioned. And boy, I'm looking forward to looking at pictures, too, because it's very relaxing. You know, you need to be relaxed at a time like this. So many people wrote in to explain what the sign meant. You asked about the traffic sign in picture number 20. Of last week's show, under the speed limit sign. I believe it was a blue circle with a with a slash through it? No, wait, what was it again? Yeah, it was not a slash, just a line through it. It's a no parking sign. Yeah, just a circle with a slash means no parking. Now, there's another sign, and we'll see this in future weeks because I took pictures of them. It has two crossed red lines, like an X, through a little blue circle. Do you know what that means? That means no stopping. No stopping. Everybody in the world knows this. We don't know this. I was over there, I was wondering, what does that sign mean? What am I supposed to do? So, yeah, that's what it means. Everybody in the world knows if you see a blue circle with a slash, don't park there. And if you rent a car overseas, God help you if you don't know that. Okay, and there are other signs, too. All kinds of other signs. We'll be taking a little look at that in weeks ahead. This person also writes in, since you like the smart car, which is sold here in Finland by the biggest Mercedes dealer chain, I thought you might like the Tango electric car. It looks like a smart car squeezed in half the size, if you can believe that. Go take a look at that at www.commutercars.com. And he's right, it is a very tiny-looking car, even tinier than the smart car. But, you know, the smart car is tiny enough for me. You know, it's a two-person car. Looks like the back half of it just has been completely obliterated. And it would be great to drive around New York City. Unfortunately, you can't get those cars in this country. And I found out from somebody, from a bunch of people, actually, I mentioned last week that smart cars will be available in this country, according to their website. They will be available in this country starting in 2006. That's right, 2006. But some people have written in to advise me. In fact, here's one person who wrote in. I just thought you'd like to know, so you don't get your hopes up, that the version of the smart car that Daimler Chrysler intends to introduce to the U.S. market in 2006 is not the microcar in your photos, but a four-wheel drive, four-door SUV variant of a much larger smart. And if you want to see it, it's at this site, www.worknews.pwpl.com/archive/ASTN/ASTN%203. Oh, it's not over yet. /A063003S4.htm. And if you think I'm going to repeat that, think again. Listen to it on the internet. Because obviously you have internet access if you're going to go to the website. Anyway, so yeah, I looked at this. Four-door car. I mean, it's as big as a regular car going around today, if not bigger. What's the point? If anyone can help me figure out, you know, I'll get the thing. I'll scrape together the money somehow to get the first smart car in this area. Maybe even in this country. But someone has to figure out how I can get the thing into the country. You put it on a boat somewhere in Europe? I hear they sell them in Mexico, you know? Can you just drive whatever you drive out of Mexico and they'll let you in? And why is this thing not allowed in this country in the first place? Passes safety tests, you know, everybody overseas is able to drive them, no problems. I wouldn't want to be in an accident in one of them, but then again, I wouldn't want to be in an accident in any car. So, that's a bit of a shallow reason for saying that, that's why we're not seeing them. I think the reason is because we're so into our big cars and gas wasting and all that kind of thing. Here's another person writing in. When I first learned of U.S. street signs, I was amazed that they spell everything out, while European signs rely much less on words. It makes sense in a region where the neighboring language slash territory is often less than a tank full away, signed Rob. And yes, it is certainly true. You can drive around in Europe and be in all kinds of different countries, speaking all kinds of different languages in a matter of hours, if not less. And this person also writes in to tell us about the no parking sign. But adds, as for the theory of the French stopping for pedestrians at crossings, they don't. If you want to see courteous drivers, then go to the UK, signed Gringod. Well, you know, I've been to the UK, and there's some courteous drivers there, except they all are coming from the wrong direction, but never mind that. But when I was in Paris, they did stop. When you stepped into those crosswalks, they did stop. And I was pretty amazed by that. This person writes in with a correction on the the gargoyles that we were showing on top of the Notre Dame Cathedral. This person says they were not gargoyles, they were grotesques. The difference is, and everybody gets this wrong, so I feel kind of good about it, to be a gargoyle, it has to be part of the waterspout system. You know, I guess that does make sense. I love the show. I've been listening to Off the Hook for years and off the wall since it restarted, and I'm a proud member of the Albuquerque, New Mexico 2600 meetings. Well, it's good to know. And don't forget, 2600 meetings are taking place this Friday all around the world. And if you want to find out where meetings are taking place, go to www.2600.com/meetings and be prepared to travel to the one that's closest to you. Let's see, we'll get to more letters in just a little bit, but first I'd like to take a look at the news, because it's been such a fascinating week. It really has. I don't know if... A lot of people don't follow the news. A lot of people, you know, I talk to them in the street and they say, oh, I don't pay any attention, it's just all bad news. But, you know, that's no way to live. You can't live that way. You have to pay attention to what's going on in the world, even if it's something you don't like, because, you know, that's how we got Bush. People weren't paying attention. You got to pay attention. So pay attention to this. The White House says the Justice Department will pursue to the fullest extent the source of a leak of a CIA agent's name. Have you been following this story? This is amazing. This is what can bring the Bush administration down. Turns out there was a critic of the Bush administration. A former ambassador who wrote an opinion piece in a newspaper basically saying that the Bush allegation that uranium was being purchased by Iraq in the country of Niger was complete and utter nonsense. Nothing that we haven't heard already, but it was coming from a retired diplomat, Joseph C. Wilson IV. He concluded more than a year and a half ago in a report for the CIA that there was no clear evidence that Saddam Hussein had tried to buy uranium ore from Africa in order to build nuclear weapons. A report for the CIA. Now, even though he had concluded this and reported this, President Bush went right ahead in the State of the Union address with those famous 16 words. And I guess completely ignored what it was that they were being advised, which now turns out to be the truth. There was no evidence. And everybody knows it now, and anyone with common sense knew it then. Okay, so that's interesting right there. But what's even more interesting is what happened as far as leaking the name of this guy's wife as a CIA agent. An undercover CIA officer. Somebody in the Bush administration illegally disclosed the identity of an undercover CIA officer. It's just, it boggles the imagination that this kind of a thing can happen. And if you don't think this is some sort of retribution, I don't know what planet you're living on. And yesterday, I don't know if you saw some of these press conferences, but boy, the Bush administration is really pretty sensitive about this. First of all, they don't really want to investigate it very much. I wonder why. And even if they do investigate it, who's going to be leading the investigation? John Ashcroft? Oh, boy. Can you say conflict of interest? Anyway, faced with a torrent of questions from all kinds of reporters, Scott McClellan, who is the current White House spokesman, he engaged in a balancing act all day long. He said the issue of disclosing classified information about a CIA officer was a very serious matter that should be pursued to the fullest extent by the Justice Department. But he also repeatedly said there was no evidence that Mr. Rove, and that's a reference to Karl Rove, who is a one of the close people to Mr. Bush, senior advisor, in fact. There's no evidence that Mr. Rove or any other White House officials, including those in Vice President Dick Cheney's office, had disclosed such information. Should any White House officials be found to have disclosed the information, he said they would lose their jobs at a minimum. The White House has sought to head off the calls for a special counsel, as numerous Democratic lawmakers and presidential candidates said they doubted that the Justice Department could investigate without at least the appearance of a conflict of interest. One Democratic presidential candidate, Senator Joseph Lieberman, said the situation was reason enough to revive the independent counsel law, which Congress allowed to die in 1999 after widespread concern over Kenneth W. Starr's Whitewater investigation. Well, here's the thing, you know, there are times for an independent counsel and times when it's a complete waste of time. The whole Whitewater thing was a complete waste of time. I mean, I think we all can agree to that. There was nothing found. And yeah, you know, you were able to find some evidence that Clinton lied about who he was having sex with. Find me somebody that doesn't lie about that. Even the president, even the Pope, you know, everybody lies about that kind of it. Oh, did I just offend an entire religion? I'm sorry. No, I'm just saying, you know, anybody in any particular position, especially a position of power, is going to want certain things not to be known. Sort of like George W. Bush doesn't want certain things to be known about Iraq. Now, which do you think is more important? Who you have sex with or who you go to war with? I mean, you know, it's the hypocrisy here is just unbelievable. So, this is going to be a very interesting story. Continue to watch it. And it's getting media attention, too, which kind of surprised me. I saw it on BBC and I said, boy, is this going to be covered on CNN? And you know what? It was. This is big. Anyway, funny how this agent's name has not actually been named in the press, I don't think. At least not in the press I've been reading. I know it was leaked to some columnists. But it's just a very bizarre story. Very strange. A federal judge says the FTC has no power to impose a national do not call list for telemarketers. The judge warned the government not to skirt the order by using the Federal Communications Commission to enforce the program. President Bush signed a bill Monday to give the FTC authority over the program. Can you believe this? This whole argument about whether or not we have the right to be on a list of people that don't want to be called by telemarketers? It's and did you see how fast Congress moved? Because votes, you know, you get votes when you support something like this. You get votes when you alleged to stand for something that prevents people from being harassed in their homes by the telephone. You know, how it's a no-brainer. In one day, both the House and the Senate passed bills giving the FTC the power to do what supposedly they don't have the power to do. Boy, that's fast. And Bush signed it. But there may be some challenges. But the funny thing is, why weren't these challenges made way back when it was proposed? Instead, the thing's supposed to go into effect tomorrow. October 1st. And, boy, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll be keeping an eye on that situation. Are you on the do not call list? It's funny, I got email from a senator. Well, it wasn't really a senator, but it was spam mail from a senator wanting me to support, I think, Senator Daschle or something. And it wasn't the hoax. It really did come from some kind of organizing committee. Of course, politicians are immune from this kind of thing. Those guys who voted for this, they can still do it. They can still call you. They don't have to follow those rules. Okay, a spokesman for Arnold Schwarzenegger says it seems the wheels are flying off. Governor, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see, thought there was a period there. The wheels are flying off California Governor Gray Davis's campaign. The spokesman was responding to complaints Republicans plan to pack an audience at a Davis town hall meeting. I've been following this. I get some California TV stations, and I've been watching some of the ads, and it's really silly. The whole thing. Everybody's talking about that out in California. But my understanding, someone explain this, that there's actually sort of a double election going on here, an election to either have the recall or not have the recall, and that has to win by, say, a majority. That has to be 50% or more. So the situation can present itself where, say, 45% of the people vote to not have the recall, and 10% of the people vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he would win, because the motion isn't carried to prevent the recall from happening. And if he gets more than anybody else, and with all the candidates running, it's quite possible 10% would be more than anybody else. But even if it's 20%, still less than the amount of votes for people that don't want to do this in the first place. It doesn't seem like the machine is really working, does it? So yeah, there's all kinds of confusion and mayhem in California. Wouldn't have it any other way. And we'll be keeping an eye on that situation as well. More UN workers are leaving Iraq. A UN spokesman says Secretary General Kofi Annan sent more than 30 foreign workers out of the country over the weekend due to security worries. The UN had 300 foreign workers in the country before an August bombing, and now just 50 remain. And Bush's speech to the United Nations last week has hastened that progress. And a rock band plans to go ahead with an onstage suicide Saturday in St. Petersburg, Florida. You know, I thought this was a joke when I first heard it. It turns out it's real. The band's leader says the show will go on despite an emergency city law. That's right, they started a new law to prevent this kind of a thing. Banning suicide for commercial or entertainment purposes. Wow. Banning suicide for commercial or entertainment purposes. I never would have thought of that. The band says the terminally ill person's suicide will raise awareness of right-to-die issues. Well, I just want to know, what kind of a person waits in line at Ticketmaster to buy a ticket to a concert where someone's going to kill themselves? I mean, you know, rock and roll has changed a lot since my day. We used to go there for, you know, the loud music, the buzzing in your ears you get for a few days afterwards, the pot, yeah, the pot, we went for that. And now, you mentioned pot, you get thrown in prison, but you can commit suicide, and that's part of the show. My goodness. All right, that's a little bit of what's going on in the world. And I guess we should show some pictures, right? That's what people want to see. Okay. Well, if you go to the website of www.2600.com/offthewall/2003, you should see a link to this week's pictures. And if you're listening in the future, well, wherever you clicked on the show to listen, that's where the pictures are. So and one other thing. Last week, separate the pictures, we had a special tone. I understand that that's the tone. I understand that the phone company was very upset that we were using that particular noise for something other than its intended purpose. And I mean, I just want to say that was not our intention. We didn't mean to cause any kind of confusion, offense, that kind of a thing. For making that particular sound. So we're not going to be using. Maybe we shouldn't keep playing the sound. Actually, this CD player is not working again. Okay, I'm sorry. I have to change the CD player yet again because this one is all messed up. I'm sorry about this. All right, let's hope this one works. And we also have to pick a random number. Okay, let's try this one. Okay. You know, they're really going to sue us if we keep playing that sound. Let's pick a number at random. 6? Okay, what's the sound for this week? That's the sound? Okay. Fine. You know what? This isn't working either. I'm doing something wrong. What am I doing differently? I want the same track to keep playing over and over again. Okay, do I hit that button? All right. Clearly, I'm... all right. This machine, I must have, maybe I hit the repeat button. Okay, is that what I hit, the repeat button? I'm sorry, this is new technology to me. Okay, I think that'll work. Yeah. Oh, you know what? It's going to keep playing it. All right, well, you know, we'll have to live with that. We'll just turn it down until we need it. Okay, so this week's pictures begin in the designated area, and I'll try to describe them for people that that aren't looking at the web right now, because that's a good part of our audience as well. As we look at the first picture, we see this is a site in a train station in Paris, Gare du Nord, which we were at last week. You'll see what looks just like a regular platform with kind of a fence on the right-hand side. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because that fence is rather unusual. That fence is actually a train. There's a train behind the fence, and that's the train that goes to England, the Eurostar. That train is for some reason protected from the rest of the station. You have to go through all kinds of baggage checking and customs and things like that to even get to that area. And you can't run across the tracks and climb onto the train that way either, because it's protected in that particular method. Okay, now we move on to picture number two. You see how far the gate extends. This time it's on the left side, and it extends all the way out it extends a long ways. And here we see what the train looks like behind the fence. That's the Eurostar train. In fact, if you look on the left-hand side on the window, you can see the Eurostar logo. And that's the train that goes from Paris to London in a few hours, goes under the tunnel, or through the tunnel, and it's really pretty cool. I've ridden it a few times. But it's just kind of strange how it's separated from the rest of the world, from the rest of the country. Almost like it's in a foreign country. Okay, and now we go to Amsterdam, where we see the roof of a building, and on the roof of this building, as on the roof of many buildings, and I'm talking about the building on the right-hand side of this picture, you'll see a little hook. Yeah, a little hook is just sitting there. There was a beep there. This is a close-up of another hook, different hook. Every building has these hooks, and because you don't really have elevators in buildings, and because you have very steep staircases, getting things up to the top floors is rather difficult, so you need to hoist them up on the outside. And I've seen it in use quite a few times. This goes back many, many decades. People have been lifting things and lowering things this way for a long, long time, and that's how you move around in Amsterdam. So next time you're in Amsterdam, look on the roof of the building, and you'll probably see a hook staring down at you. Okay, now this picture is a typical street-side cafe in Amsterdam. But you'll notice something unusual about it. You'll see all these people just sitting in chairs lined up as far as you can see. But in the second chair, you'll notice that the customer is, in fact, a cat. That's right, a cat is basically just relaxing in the chair with all the other people. And it's kind of the attitude that you see among animals in certain cities, where they just kind of, like, you know, chill with the people. And I think that's really a healthy thing to do, you know, a cat sharing a table with you. Last week we saw, you know, a cat just lying on the table. We saw dogs in train stations, and they just kind of behave themselves, and people don't bother them. You know, it's kind of a symbiotic relationship. And here you see a couple of really weird-looking dogs that are on the top of a staircase staring down at us. Their eyes really did glow like that, too. That's why I took the picture, because their eyes were sort of glowing like, you know, Village of the Damned type of a thing. And there's some strange breed. I forget what kind of breed of dog this is. They just look really bizarre and strange. But if you also take a look at the staircase, you'll see it's as steep as it looks. You might think that I'm at some crazy angle. No, that's the angle the staircase really is. It's almost, is it a 45-degree angle? It's even more than it's like going up a ladder. And these things can go up three or four stories. And sometimes it's a straight shot the whole way up. And these dogs go running up and down these staircases, you know, every day. And children, I've seen children go running up and down staircases, and even adults and old ladies and everybody, they make it up these staircases somehow. I don't know how they do it. I really don't understand how they do it. Out here, you know, we have a train station. It's called Port Jefferson, Port Jeff for short. And if you ever get off the train there, you may notice that there's a massive gap between the train and the platform. And, you know, I've always wondered, boy, you know, it wouldn't take much for somebody just to fall right through that. I wonder if that's ever happened. What kind of liability? And, you know, I'm thinking like an American. In Europe, when you get off a train, you climb down a very steep ladder. You don't just hop onto a platform. You climb down this ladder. And I even have trouble doing this. And meanwhile, everybody on the train is able to do this somehow. Some people need a hand, okay, but no one's complaining. No one's thinking lawsuits. It's just part of the whole trip, and you just have to be careful. And there's a gap on top of that, too. So they get you in all different areas. And if you heard the beep there, can we get another beep? Because that was kind of low. All right. This is another animal. This is a dog on a subway. Yes, I covertly took a picture of a dog sitting on a subway train just so that I could prove that it really exists. And yes, as you can see, the dog is not sitting on the chair. He knows not to do that. He's sitting on the floor next to the chair or underneath the chair and behaving himself quite well. No barking. None of that thing that dogs do everywhere. And if you see another dog, they just politely nod and move on their way. None of the usual, you know, butt sniffing and barking and craziness that you see on the streets of New York. All right. Can anybody, looking at this sign, by the way, we're on picture number 9 for those of you just joining us, and please try to be on time next time. This is a picture or a little sign that that you see in some train stations, all right? I gave you a hint. And your assignment for this week is to tell me what that sign means. All right. I didn't know. I had to ask somebody. All right, so don't feel stupid if you don't get it right away. Okay, this we're now at the station in Germany where the Chaos Communications Camp took place. For those who don't know, the Chaos Communications Camp was a 4-day hacker event. It took place on the outskirts of Berlin. It was a great time. We built a community there, had wireless internet, wired internet, phone systems, electricity. Well, I guess we didn't technically have plumbing, but we had outhouses, and they worked pretty good. For some reason, they didn't smell disgusting like the ones in this country. Whenever, I'm not saying, you know, outhouses in different countries are better than ours. I'm just saying they're using a system there that seems to work. Because when you're on a campground for 4 days, you have to spend a good amount of time in an outhouse if you add it all up. And every time I've had to go to an outhouse in this country, you know, say at a convention or, you know, a ham fest or something like that, a concert, you have to hold your breath. And for some reason, you didn't have to do that here. So they got something there. They got something there, and let's hope they share it with us so that we, too, can spend many quality minutes or hours in outhouses and not have to... All right, enough about that. If somebody can tell me what SparkAss is, I see these buildings everywhere, all around Germany. Big red letters, probably, they say SparkAss. And I have no idea what goes on inside those buildings. I was too afraid to go up and find out myself. So, yeah, if anybody out there can write in and tell me what SparkAss is all about, maybe I'll join the party. Okay, we missed that one. Okay, that's better. Yes, this is the sign. It's kind of unexciting. It's just basically, when you got off the train, there was a sign for a shuttle bus. Well, actually, the shuttle bus really wasn't a bus. It was this guy driving his van. And this guy, I don't want to get into too much detail, but I swear, this guy did not want to be bothered to drive from the camp to the train station very often, you know? He had to, you know, hang around. He wouldn't let anybody else drive the van either. He was the only person driving it, so you had to wait sometimes an hour to get a ride, and it was, you know, a good 20-minute ride at least, so you couldn't just walk it. Plus, you had no idea where you were going. So that was the only thing that was a bit of a pain, getting back and forth in the train station, although it encouraged you not to go to the train station, to stay on the campground, I guess, which was sort of the point of the whole thing. But, yeah, that was a memorable point that I forgot about until now. Here we have, in front of the SparkAss building, what I call a paranoid pedestrian crossing. Count the number of signs there, indicating that there's a pedestrian crossing. Good Lord! I mean, they spare no expense, and that's only in one direction. I imagine the same signs exist in the other direction, too. There's one up in the air, there's another one further along up in the air, one towards the ground, one on the other side of the street towards the ground. No mistaking that that's a pedestrian crossing. In Paris, you just have the lines on the street. That's a pedestrian crossing. People know to stop for that. But in Germany, they're a bit more paranoid, I guess, about making sure people know. Oh, and also, if you look to the right, you'll see one of those those circle signs with a slash through it. And this one has an extra added bonus. It's got a little arrow attached to it as well, which I guess indicates no parking on the left side of the street, which is kind of weird because wouldn't that belong on the other side of the street? Wouldn't the sign belong there? You know, and in Germany, you can park facing the wrong way on the street. So I guess that's why the sign is there. Imagine doing that. Try that in New York. Just try it. Go down 53rd Street, okay, and face east. Park your car and face east. Yeah, see what happens. Nobody has a sense of humor anymore. All right. This is the entrance to the chaos camp. You see the big CCC there. Very rustic. Farmland everywhere. Little farmhouses. Very nice, picturesque area. And this is some of the early tents that are being set up. There's a bit of a lake in the background. The middle tent, by the way, that was my tent. Yeah, the one on the right-hand side next to the colored one was my tent. That was back in the beginning. It got much more populated very quickly after that. That was the evening before the camp actually began. So it may look like there's lots of space, but there wasn't. And here you see more of the build-up. I think it was the next day. As more people arrive, you see the wide variety of different kinds of tents, some with some really big ones that you can stand up in. To the right, you see one of the main speaker tents, and those are the ones that can hold several hundred people, so you can actually see a talk. In fact, if we can get... Yeah, thank you. here you see three of those. There are tents for all kinds of purposes, where you could get refreshments, buy T-shirts, see speakers... all in the middle of a farm field. It was really pretty amazing, pretty memorable. And this is the inside of one of the bigger tents. I think this is the one actually that that we kept our equipment in. We'd sit down at tables. We'd have we'd be connected to the internet, have laptops set up, and you could walk away from it. You could go for hours, swim in the lake, or you know, take a walk, or see a lecture, or go to the Thai place. Yeah, they had a Thai place there. And come back, and your stuff was just sitting where you left it. You know, that's just how it was there. Amazing. This is the radio station at the campground. Yes, they had a radio station. And if you look at this radio station, I got to tell you, the equipment there is so much better than the equipment here or at WBAI or most radio stations that I've ever seen. And they brought it there. They brought it there, and they got it working, and it was amazing. It's amazing what they can do. And this is in the middle of a farm field where they powered it themselves and had all kinds of connectivity. They kept the radio station going. It was available online. And if you look on the bottom left of that picture, you'll see an interesting little sign there. In fact, here's a closer view of the sign plus the other half of the sign. Basically says, as a slash through a cigarette and a slash through a pot leaf. Means no cigarette smoking, no pot smoking. Just inside the radio. All right. Here's a picture of a Lego robot that was working on a Rubik's Cube. Now, it looked really cool, and it worked. You know, it would change the order of the Rubik's Cube, except it worked very slowly. I'm not sure if it was really figuring it out. But it looked really cool, I gotta say that, especially when it was in motion. And I guess that's the future that we're facing. Here's a Lego monster from, I guess, Star Wars that was seen. I don't think that moved. Did it move? I didn't see it move. Okay, I think we missed another beep. There we are. Here's another picture of another Lego robot, and that was a whole section there just for robots and various other things that just looked really, really cool. This is the software that the radio station was running. Basically, they had all kinds of MP3s. By the way, you can click on all these pictures and make them a little bit closer up. You can actually see the songs that they were playing and some other bits of the software that they were using. Because that's what internet radio was all about. It's running programs. Not like here, where we do it all ourselves. Here are some shirts that were being sold. All kinds of shirts being sold at the camp. All different kinds, all different countries. And here is an espresso truck with a typical German style of truck building saved our lives many times because when you need a cup of espresso in the middle of a farm field, you knew exactly where to go. So that was a lot of fun. Here is a good sense of how many tents wound up being put in just one section of the campground. And you see the porta potties over there, and some strange person walking down the pathway there. Just thousands of people hang out in the camp field for several days. I highly recommend it. That is, I believe, that's a lock-picking tent, yes. Those are people inside working on picking locks. If you do a close-up on that, you can see that they're very busy at work. And they took it very seriously. So that was a fun tent to visit as well. Here we have some people that are in charge of the wireless network. We're going to have to move through these rather fast now. There's an anti-Windows tent that had a slash through the Windows sign. The Cypherpunks, yes, the Cypherpunks tent is where we spent most of our time. Really cool place, a lot of cool people hanging out there. That was next to the NetBSD tent. We're on picture number 31. And, of course, you can't have a NetBSD tent without having also a beep, please. An OpenBSD tent next to that with... Beer Open BSD user group. Well, I'm not sure what that was all about. This was the tent for the Chaos Communications Club of Stuttgart, Germany. There was another beep there. This is something known as Valland, named after Val Holland, who was one of the founding members of Chaos Computer Club, who died last year, or actually 2 years ago, I'm sorry. And there was kind of a tribute to him. Here you see some of the food places, Burger Joint, and there's a Thai restaurant in there somewhere. Here you have a lot going on. I didn't hear the beep. There we go. There's a lot going on there. You have jousting. You have a guy being spun around on sort of an axis thing. Okay, and then yeah, the beep means we have to go to the Thai place, which was a Thai restaurant and a place where people could sit. I can't believe how much time I need to show these pictures. We only have two more. This dog worked at the pizza place. If you didn't hear the beep meant to move ahead. Yeah, okay. And the last picture, picture number 39, when I say the dog worked at the place, basically no dogs were allowed except for dogs that belonged to the people who are running these establishments. And finally, this, one beep please? Last beep. This is the site in Berlin of the Chaos Congress, which will be taking place this December. Yes, that'll be happening this December in Berlin. I highly recommend people go to that. It's a new site. The building on the left is the Blinking Lights building, the original Blinking Lights building, where all kinds of interesting patterns were put on by the Chaos Computer Club. As you can see, that building is under some sort of construction, but the building next to it, the dome, is where the conference is going to be taking place. And who knows, we might be able to light up that building again. Well... Next time I'll start them a little bit earlier. I'm sorry about the frenzied pace, but you can look at them at your leisure at the website. We'll be back again next week with more fun. Good night. Everybody is going through the motions. Everybody is going through
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.